الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين، واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. Tonight we are starting a new subject, which is Imamat and Walayat, concept of Imamat and Walayat, leadership and governance in Islam. Imamat means leadership and Walayat means governance. And the subject will include the following points. First of all, we'll discuss why an imam. That means, why in the world do we need an imam? And then we'll talk about the fact, the concept Imamat in the Holy Quran, and third of all, we'll discuss Imamat in the Hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And then we'll talk about man yansibuhu, that means who installs the Imam. And after that, we'll talk about the sifat, that means the compulsory attributes which are must to be found in every imam. And at the end, we will talk about the imamat of Imam ولي العصر عليه الصلاة والسلام وعجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. So in his time and the duty of the people, what are they supposed to do in his غيبة towards the concept of the imamat and walayat. So this is just an introduction to our discussion, and before we start the discussion, it is important, before we go to the point number one, why do we need an imam? Why are we standing in need of following the Imam and his governance. Before we go to that point, there are a couple of important points to discuss as a muqaddimah, as a prelude. The first is the ta'rif, which means the definition of the concept of imamat in Islam. It's very important to understand the definition. The definition which is mentioned by Allama Al-Hilli Rahmatullahi Alayh is what I will mention here. Our great scholar and mutakallim in his book Bab al-Hadi Ashar, that's how he has defined the imamat. Let me write it in Arabic first. Al-imamatu riyasatun amma الدين والدنيا نيابة عن النبي. And some of the scholars have added another word here, bihaqqil asala, and actually there is no need to add, and I will explain it to you why there is no need to add this word at the end of the definition. First, the translation, al-imamato riyasatun, and this is, sorry about that, it's fatha, al-imamato riyasatun amma al-deen wa al-dunya. Imamat, riyasat means supervision, ra'is is the head and or the supervisor, it's called ra'is. So imamat is a supervision, amma which is general in nature. It's a general supervision. Fi umur al-deen, fi al-deen wa al-dunya, in affairs in matters of religion and the world. That means this world that we are living in the affairs of the life of this world. Niyabatan and the proxy of the Prophet. Niyabatan an nabi, that means in the proxy of the Prophet. So imamat is a general supervision role related to the matters of the religion and the life in this world, and this role has to be played in the absence of the Holy Prophet in his proxy by the imam. So it's a general supervision, general leadership role. Some scholars have added the word bihaqq al-asala, that means originally. Bihaqq al-asala means originally. There is no need to add the word the bihaqq al-asala. So what they are trying to say by adding the word bihaqq al-asala, that means originally, is that they want to exclude the imamat of the na'ib.
And that means the mujtahid.
The mujtahid, who is the na'ib, can be excluded, because here we are talking about the imamat of the masumeen alayhi salam. So in order to exclude the mujtahid, who is the na'ib of the ma'soom, the deputy of the ma'soom, they have added the word originally. So imamat is a general supervision originally established in the matters of the religion and in the matter of the life of this world in the proxy of the Prophet. Originally established. So for the na'ib, for the deputy, for the mujtahid, who is the deputy of the ma'soom, deputy of the infallible, it is not originally established. It is established for the 12 masumeen alayhim salam, 12 imams alayhim salam after the Prophet, and for them it's originally, for the na'ib, for the deputy, for the mujtahid, it's not originally, but what we call it as bit-tafweev. That means by you can say by awarding, because the imam, because the ma'soom has, the infallible has awarded that status, that position of imamat to the mujtahid, to the deputy of the ma'soom in the time of ghaybat, because the ma'soom has awarded him that position, so because of ma'soom awarding him, he has the position. So he doesn't have the position originally. Originally it belongs to the 12 imams and only them. Okay, some have added this term to exclude the mujtahid in the ghaybat, because his leadership is not originally, it is awarded to him by the ma'soom. But, like I said, that there was no need to add this term because of the fact that Allama Hilli has already added the word amma, and that's enough to exclude the mujtahid. Because when we say it's a general supervision, general means it's all inclusive. All inclusive means everyone in it, without exception, everyone under his supervision. Whereas this, when we say amma and general supervision, it includes everybody. So the mujtahid's imamat and leadership role is not amma, because it does not include the masumeen alayhi salam. It does not include Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His role is not general. It's not all inclusive. So when the word amma is there in the sense of general, it already serves the purpose, because their leadership was original and the mujtahid's leadership is awarded to him. It's not original. Okay? There's no need to add this word bihaqq al-asala at the end. That definition of Allama Hilli is enough to convey the actual important points which are composed in the definition. So this is the first point to remember before we start the discussion of imamat, why we need an imam. And the second point to remember is that the difference between tashayyu' and tasannun. Can I erase this? The difference between the Shias and the Sunnis when it comes to imamat is very fundamental, because in the Ithna Ashari faith, imamat is Yeah, in the Isma Ashari faith,
Imamat is considered to be part of the Usuluddin.
That means roots of the religion,
because it is fi'lullah, it is Allah's job to perform and choose an imam. Whereas in the Sunni brothers, when it comes to imamat, and for them it's part of the furu'uddin,
not part of the fundamentals of the religion, because they consider it to be fi'lun nas, a job of the people to do. It's up to the people to appoint the imam, because they say Prophet did not appoint anyone. So it's people's job to do it. So look at the very fundamental difference between them. So in Isna Ashari belief system, it is part of Usuluddin, the roots of the religion, and anything is part of the Usuluddin when it is fi'lullah. It's Allah's job to perform. It's not up to the people to decide. Whereas things which are in the Sunni brothers, they say it's part of furu'uddin, branches of the religion, and anything is considered to be part of the furu'uddin as long as it is fi'lunnas, it's people's job. Like we say, salah, prayers is part of the furu'uddin, because people have to pray. Allah doesn't need to pray. Fasting is part of furu'uddin. People have to fast. Allah doesn't need to fast. Hajj, and so on and so forth. So things that people are supposed to perform are part of furu'uddin, and things that Allah is supposed to do and it's related to Him are part of, they are fi'lullah, they are part of the usuluddin. So it is not contradictory to the concept of the unity among Muslims, ittihad bain al-Muslimin, that we strongly believe in that. And discussing this matter is not contradictory to that at all, because actually it makes a better foundation for ittihad and unity when you understand the difference and you realize the difference. So you explore the common ground and you know the uncommon things. And that's where our relation will be strong and founded on pillars and foundations that we know properly, without any ambiguity. So that's how we can work together knowingly and properly. So it's not contradictory to the concept of the unity of among Muslims that we strongly support. What is contradictory to the concept of unity is the following. This is what is contradictory, ihanat or tawheen and inad. Ta'assub means prejudice. Tawheen means insult. Inad means enmity. And takfir means announcing others to be infidels. Announcing others to be infidels. This kind of behavior is what is contradictory to this unity among the Muslims, and that's what we denounce, these practices and policies which are performed by some stupid people who are knowingly or unknowingly working for the enemies of Islam. So also it is to be noted that in the Ithna Ashari belief system, the imamate of an imam is an extremely important subject, because an imam is not only an imam is considered to be not only a deputy, or let me put it in other words, an imam is not considered not only considered to be a ruler, not only considered to be a political ruler, but also in addition is considered to be spiritual guide, providing, ensuring the hidayatun batiniyya, a spiritual guide who ensures the hidayatun batiniyya, means hidden guidance. An imam is the one that provides guidance hiddenly. So he is a spiritual guide, which is a very high status in the eyes of Allah, not just a regular political ruler, which of course imam is the ruler, but this is not just that. It's about the spiritual guide, the role of a spiritual guide who provides hidayatun batiniyya, the hidden guidance, which is superior than the open guidance. The Holy Quran, and when it talks about the hidden guidance, when it talks about the role of the imam, the Quran says that وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. جعلناهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا. وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. This is from Surah Al-Sajda, verse 32. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةٍ يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. We made them imams. They guide according to the command of ours. They guide according to our command. Lamma sabr, when they did the sabr and patience. Wakanu bi ayatina yuqinun, and they used to have yaqeen and certitude over our signs. So That's what we then understand in the light of the verse, not the exact translation. So we understand in the light of this verse, Hidayat bil Amr is what we call Hidayat al Bataniya. The hidden guidance. And in order for a person to be able to provide the hidden guidance to the people, which is entirely depending on the isti'dad and capabilities of the humans, because the spiritual capabilities of people are different. So they deserve the guidance according to their spiritual capabilities. That's the job of the Imam, to provide, to judge their spiritual capabilities and then provide the hidden guidance according to what they deserve. In order to judge the spiritual capabilities, you need to have a hata. You need to engulf. Your knowledge should be so high that you can engulf the souls and spiritualities of all the people under your imamat. When your knowledge is that high that your soul is engulfing the souls of others, then you can be able to judge their spiritual capabilities and taharat of the qalb that they belong, so that you, according to your judgment, can provide the hidden guidance that they deserve to get. That requires high level of knowledge. And so in order for a person to reach the position of imamat, which imamat is actually, the mansab and position of imamat is Hidayat bil Amr and Hidayat al Bataniyya. Mansab and position of imamat is a divine position, divine status, where the imam is the one who is empowered to provide this hidden guidance. Imam is the only one who is empowered to provide the hidden guidance, because he is sitting on that divine mansab and position. So in order for the imam to sit on this mansab, he requires two conditions to be fulfilled. One is sabr, and the other one is yaqeen. So anyone who is an imam has to have high levels of sabr and high level of yaqeen in order to be an imam. And when he becomes an imam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he performs Hidayat bil Amr, that means according, guidance according to the command of Allah, and that is the hidden guidance which is entirely dependent on the capabilities, spiritual capabilities of the people who are at the receiving end. In order to judge their spiritual capabilities, the imam must have and must have the knowledge that engulfs their spiritualities. So that's the high level of knowledge that imam enjoys, and the knowledge depends on his own level of ismat and taharat and cleanliness of the soul. So imamat is the imamatun hidayatun bataniyya. This is what we understood in very short words. And imamat depends on sabr and yaqeen. Yahduna bi amrina lamma sabaru, when they did the sabr, wa kanu bi ayatina yuqinun, and they used to have yaqeen about our signs. In other words, so yaqeen and sabr are the two prerequisites for every imam. Also in another verse from Surah Al-An'am, verse number 57, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, talking about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, كَذَلِكَ نُورِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ.
وليكون من الموقنين.
I missed the word wow.
وَكَذَلِكَ
نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And that's how we show Ibrahim the hidden realities, the batin. Malakut means the batin, literally speaking. The batin, the hidden reality of the heavens and earth. وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُقِنِينَ, so that he be among those who have yaqeen. So we already understood that imamat is a position that belongs to Ahlul Yaqeen and Ahlul Sabr. Now let's move to the first point of our discussion after this prelude, where we talked about 2 points, the ta'rif, the definition, and the difference between the Isna Ash'aris and the rest of the sects of Islam when it comes to imamat. So after this prelude, we'll move to the next point, which is why an imam? Why do we need an imam? The discussion why we need an imam, we will talk about 5 dalil and evidences, inshallah, about why we need an imam. We will discuss those 5 evidences, inshallah, in the next class, but tonight I'd like to say that before we enter into those 5 evidences, inshallah, on the imamat, it's important to remember that all those 5 evidences that we have, that we are going to talk about, evidences are a lot. Evidences about imamat are a lot, but we are mentioning the 5 most important ones. So all those 5 important evidences for the fact that we need an imam are equally applicable for the nubuwwah, for the prophethood. So if we have understood why we need a prophet, then there is no problem for any person to understand why we need an imam. The reason why people fail to understand in the true sense why we need an imam is because they fail to understand in the true sense why we need a prophet. The evidences for the need towards prophethood are exactly the same evidences about the need towards an imam. The evidences are all exactly the same without any difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imam is the one who is protecting the shar, he's the hafiz and protector of the shar, that means the sharia, and also he's the hafiz and protector towards the kitab, that means the book of God. He does not receive the book himself, the book was received by the messenger, towards him he is serving a deputy, but he himself practices the kitab, the book, to its fullest, and that's how he can pray, he can protect the book to its fullest. At any given period of time, so this is the first point to remember, that the evidences are the same for the prophethood. The second point is that imam is a protector of the book and the sharia. And the third point to remember is that imam is needed for completion of our حذف الخلقة, that means the goal of creation, otherwise the goal why we are created will remain unaccomplished. So in order for the goal to be accomplished and completed, an imam is required by the humanity, just like the prophet was required by the humanity, so that we can, under his guidance and supervision, accomplish the goal and purpose of our creation. So imam ensures that we are provided the guidance that is required to achieve the purpose of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, Surah At-Tawbah, verse 119. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. O you who believe, have the piety of Allah and be along with the Sadiqeen, the real truth tellers. And this ayat of Holy Quran is specific to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, because Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are the Sadiqeen. In this verse of Holy Quran, Sadiqeen belongs to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Our 12 imams are the Sadiqeen, and Ma'iyyat of Sadiqeen, that means being along with the Sadiqeen is compulsory on the neck of all the believers. And this ayat is mutlaq, in its absolute form, without any qaid, without any restriction, and without any shart, without any condition.
in its absolute form. So it is required for the people, from the believers, to be along with the Sadiqeen at all times in the absolute sense. And being with the Sadiqeen in the absolute sense automatically proves that till the last day of earth, at least one member of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam will survive who is part of the Sadiqeen, and so that the believers can be with him. And this is the responsibility of all the believers to be with the Sadiqeen in their lives. So this ayat itself is a living evidence on the survival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, because he is part of the Sadiqeen, and every time one member of the Ahlul Bayt would be present who is munazzah from khata, he is above and beyond all the mistakes and sins, because if a person tells any kind of lie in his life, is cannot be in the category of Sadiqeen, cannot fall in the category of Sadiqeen. So only the Masumeen are the ones which are left, because they are the ones who have no kizb and no lie at all in their personalities. Also, we should remember that all the five Ulul Azm, so this is the 1, 2, 3 and 4 points. We mentioned up till now 4 points. And the fifth point to remember is that all the Anbiya who were Ulul Azm were the Imams as well. Although the daraja of Imamat of every Imam is different, so you cannot expect every Imam to be on the same level. Even in the Imamat, there are darajat and levels. But all those five prophets who are Ulul Azm, which were Prophet Nuh alayhi salam and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and finally our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So all of them were Imams. Of course, the daraja of Imamat of each and every one of different Imams were different. They are not on the same level, but they were Imams. Imams do not bring and after the Holy Prophet, of course, we believe in the 12 Imams which are mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. يَكُونُ بَعْدِي إِثْنَا عَشَرَ أَمِيرًا كُلُّهُمْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ, the riwayat of Jabir ibn Samurah. So we believe in the 12 Imams after the Holy Prophet. They don't bring a new Sharia. They are the protectors of the same Sharia and protector of the Holy Quran, and serving as the deputy and vice chairant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we will inshallah discuss the five evidences, whatever we can discuss among the five, in the next class inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.